Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is the three goals of transformative coaching and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life. 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada. That's 866-254-1579. Or from outside the U.S., you can reach the show by dialing your country code, usually 001-760-918-4300. And as always, I'm going to start by setting the table. And the topic for today's show came from a conversation, kind of an ongoing conversation with every relative I have, where they go, God, you know, it's so cool what you do. What do you do? And it's an interesting thing because it's non-obvious without understanding the principles from which I coach to necessarily know what's going on. As I remember one woman who actually is now an employee of mine, but she once described my show. She said, I don't know, I listen to your show and somebody calls in and they've got a problem and you go, blah, 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 blah. And then they go, oh my God, of course. And then they don't have a problem anymore. What happens? And I thought I would do my best to kind of talk about what it is that is behind the coaching that I do and the coaching that I teach in programs like Coaching from the Inside Out and Super Coach Academy. And the first goal, and there's not really an order to it, but the first goal of transformative coaching is pretty innocuous. It's just showing people how the mind works. And it's not really teaching them how the mind works, because we all kind of know how the mind works. And in its simplest level, the more settled down you get in your thinking, the more effective you are in the world. The less crazy you've got going on in your head, the more wisdom starts coming out your mouth. The less you're up in your head ruminating and retreading and rehashing everything that you've done in the past that failed and everything you've thought about doing in the future that you're pretty sure is going to fail, the more space there is for new thought to come through, for fresh thought, for insight, for a sight from within, and the better you'll do. The less you've got going on in your head, the less you've got on your mind, the more present you'll be, the more easily you'll connect with others, and the more deeply you'll see what's going on with them because you're present to them. I was talking to a woman who did one of our Thrive retreats. We got a Thrive retreat coming up in New Orleans. How do you get there? Supercoach.com/thrive will get you to the page, and I guess an airline will get you to New Orleans. But she just done one of our other Thrive programs, and she was saying that one of the weird effects was how much quieter it was inside her head and how much more present she was. And she said she went to the same salon she's been going to for years, and a woman came to color her hair, and she said, oh, are you new here? And the woman just looked at her and said, I've been coloring your hair for 6 years. Now, that's an extreme, but that's just how the mind works, right? It gets revved up. And when it gets revved up, there's not much room for anything new to come through. But its nature is settled down. And so when your mind settles down, new thought comes through. And it turns out that new thought is what we're looking for. New thought is the answer to any question you have. New thought is the solution to any problem you have. You know, my mentor George Pransky sometimes describes it as the posse, you know, arriving in Iowa. I think of it as the cavalry, you know. It's like, well, we're in a lot of trouble, but, you know, here comes new thought to the rescue. And we suddenly see things differently. And sometimes it's new thought about the problem. And sometimes it's new thought about what it is that we thought was a problem. In other words, sometimes the problem just stops looking like a problem because we see it differently. We have fresh thinking about it. And that's one of the goals. So one of the goals of this work is to open up a space for fresh thought, right? To to show people enough of how the mind works that they begin to see the value for themselves in settling down. And they're less inclined to wind themselves up. And a lot of good can come from just that. But don't order yet, kids, because that's not all that's on offer. Because the second goal of transformative coaching is beyond just showing somebody how the mind works and helping them create an ongoing relationship with wisdom, with that deeper part of the mind, with what comes through in that space, in that spaciousness, is helping people get a deeper understanding of how life works. And that's what the essence of what the Inside Out Revolution was about. Those of you who've read the book, right? And even if you've watched the TED Talk, the awesomer TED Talk, right? What I'm talking about in there is the inside out nature of reality. The fact that the mind works more like a projector than a camera. The fact that we live in an experience of thought, but we think we're living in the experience of circumstances. And when somebody has insight into that, when they start to see that for themselves, their whole world flips on its head. Because suddenly, they're no longer at the mercy of the outside world. When you start to see that your experience is 100% created from a thought, experienced via consciousness, brought to life in and from the deeper mind, well, you're not a victim anymore. You're not a victim of anyone or anything. And the nature of thought is, thought's fluid. Thought's continually changing. So you're also not trapped in a circumstance. Or if you are trapped in a circumstance, let's say you're in prison and you're not going anywhere for 20 years, you're no longer trapped in your experience of that circumstance. And when experience changes, when thought changes, feeling changes, experience changes, and again, that takes us back to our first goal, that opens us up to new thought, that deepens our relationship with our own wisdom. But don't order yet, kids, because not only can you get a deeper experience of mind and a deeper relationship with mind and a deeper understanding, not only can you begin to see more and more of the inside-out nature of reality, but you start to get a sense of who and what you really are. At core, not your personality, not your thought-created identity, but at a more fundamental level, we start to see, I'm made of the same stuff as the universe. I'm made of God. I'm made of life. I am made of the intelligence behind life. Well, that changes things. You know, I had a client, we were talking about what, you know, she was sharing some of the biggest changes, because very successful entrepreneur, and you know, she's now a very successful entrepreneur who's not stressed all the time and who's not freaked out all the time and who's living a much more connected life, not only with her family, but, you know, with the universe, with the world. And she was saying the biggest shift that she's noticed is that she's not the most important character in her life anymore. Now, we might strive for that. We might think, oh, that would be good. Yes, I should be humble. Humble is good. I should think of myself less, yes. But to actually lose a little bit of interest in your own story is an amazingly liberating thing. You know, I was joking with her. I don't know if you've ever seen the map of New York or a New Yorker's view of the universe, and it's like a picture, three quarters of the picture is Manhattan, and then like one eighth is the rest of the country, and then the other eighth is the rest of the world. Actually, it may even be that it's like one eighth is the other four boroughs of New York and the rest is just the rest of America. I'm not even sure. Well, ego's like that, right? We look at the world and we see three quarters of what we see is us. And then there's an eighth there for our family and loved ones. And then there's another eighth for every other human being on the planet. Well, when you start to see who and what you really are, which is so much more than that and so much less than that, the picture changes. I mean, maybe only half of the picture is taken up with you now, and there's more room for the people you love and the rest of the world. Or maybe a quarter of the picture. Or maybe there are even moments where you're not even in the picture, where it really just isn't about you for a little while. Not because that's what a good person does, because that's all about you. But because you simply see, other than the experience of life, of pure consciousness, who are we? And it's a question that's been asked through the ages in pretty much every spiritual tradition. Sometimes, here's another way I talk about these three goals. And by the way, we will be going to the phones. Let's see, Jay and Lindsay, you're first up in the queue. If you want to get into the queue, 866-254-1579 is the number, toll-free in the United States and Canada. Outside the U.S., dial 001-760-918-4300. Here's another way, kind of a shorthand I sometimes talk about when I'm training coaches. And if you're interested in training in this work, check out coachingfromtheinsideout.com. We've got our last coach training till 2016 coming up in just 2 weeks from now. And you can phone Sarah. You'll find her details, and you can talk to her about the program and see if it's right for you. But here's another way I sometimes talk about it. When you're looking at your client, do they know that they're God? Right? Do they know that they're more than just that person with the problem? Do they know that? I'm not saying they're not that too, right? We're spiritual beings having a human experience. Ignore either of those at your peril. But fundamentally, do they have a sense that they're more than just a personality? They're more than just a body. They're more than just their thoughts. Do they know where their experience is coming from? Can they see that they're living in a thought-created world, thinking that they're living in a world of circumstance? And the freedom that that gives to navigate and to have fun and to play, not to leave that world behind, the world of form, but to be in the world but not of it. To be able to play and not have to play to win. And do they have a living relationship with wisdom, with the deeper intelligence, with their own deepest mind that guides them moment by moment, situation by situation, that unfolds their life like the path of the soul, like a soul path? And that's what we're up to. That's what I'm, as best I can, up to when I coach on this show. And look, the reality is I got like 5 minutes with you, if that. So it doesn't occur to me to put a lot of pressure on myself to make sure that in 5 minutes, everybody, there's not like a tick list. Okay, do they know that they're God? Yes or no? Okay, if yes, then if no, then, you know, do they know where their experience is coming from? You know, I don't have a flow chart. I just know generally that's the direction we're looking in. That's what we're going to explore together. And I know from experience that if that's the direction we're looking in and that's the place I'm coming from, when I say blah, 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 there's a reasonably good chance you're going to go, oh my God, of course. So let's go to the phones. Let's begin in Indianapolis with Jay. Jay, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate everything you do, and your content really resonates with me. So I wanted to say that, first of all, and my issue basically is that I'm an information seeker and then tend to not act on that information. So kind of the analogy that I would draw is if you get, I guess I tell people, you know, I'm the kind of person who'd go out and buy a VCR, read the instruction manual, and then tell everyone how great the VCR was but never use it, and then look for other instruction manuals to tell me how great my VCR is rather than just using it.
Fair enough.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I know the feeling.
I'm an information seeker, and I mean, when I read The Inside Out Revolution, and the first thing I thought of was, oh, I need to track down, I can't, his name escapes me, but the guy that inspired you to, you know, to get involved in this, and I need to read all of his stuff too. And then I had to stop myself to say, no, the information that I need is already there. I just need to act on the information that I have rather than trying to seek more.
Well, I think that that's right, but I think it's even better than that. So I remember, because I'm an information junkie, maybe not so much anymore, but I certainly was. I mean, I had thousands, not an exaggeration. I had several thousand self-help, business development, personal development, success books. And so I think we can safely say I was an information junkie. And it did occur to me at one point a long time ago, gosh, if everything in these books was actually valid, hell, if half of it was valid, I should be the smartest, happiest, sexiest, richest person on the planet. And I wasn't, just, you know, in case anyone didn't know, it's radio, you can't tell. And so I did. That kind of put, that gave me pause, but it didn't really change it for me. It just made me aware that there was something a little bit off about the way I was going about things. And it wasn't until I sort of came across these principles, mind, consciousness, and thought that I talk about in the show and in the book, that I suddenly went, oh, hang on. The answers I'm looking for, not only are they not in the information out there, they're not even in the information in here. They're going to come to me in the moment. They're going to come to me as revelation. They're going to come to me as, it's going to occur to me. Like when I look back and I look at anything I've done of merit, right, that where I surprised myself at how well something went, it was always because something occurred to me. Something occurred to me out of the blue. It came to me in the moment or just before I needed it. And so in your analogy, like it's not, and I'm going to mess with your analogy here, but like it's not, oh, I've got to stop buying so many tapes for my VCR or I've got to play the VCR. It's recognizing it's not a VCR. It's a modem and it's connected to the internet. And the movie that I want when I want it will stream and download in the moment that I need it. I don't even need to create a library for it. Can you see how that's a little bit different?
Yeah. I mean, I can. I think the another thing that I kind of struggle with is think, you know, the first thing when I saw the Why Aren't We Awesomer video, I posted it on Facebook and showed it to friends of mine. And, you know, this is great. This is life-altering. And at the back of my mind, I'm thinking that people are going to look at me and say, well, how has it altered your life? And then I say, well, I just think it's really cool. And if you ever apply this stuff, it would be amazing. I personally don't. But if you did, it would be really cool for you. Tell me how that worked out for you. You know, and that's where I struggle, that I can see people, you know, I'm a big Kool-Aid drinker. And right now, you know, this is one of the modes where I'm in. And so I feel like I need to live it to be the example more instead of people coming to me saying, hey, have you seen a video that is life transforming? It's much better to see the video yourself, transform your own life, and then have people come to you and say, how'd you do that?
Well, so here's the one thing that occurs to me, Jay, that might be useful, okay? And it's to do with whose job it is to transform. And it sounds like, and it's okay if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you think that it's your job, that you should be using this information to in some way transform your life. And that's not my experience of how it works. This deeper mind that we're pointing to, this already existent intelligence that unfolds all around us in the physical world, is waiting to unfold inside you. And if you have a job, it's kind of just to get out of the way and let it work on you. Now that's different than thinking, I need to apply this. I don't know how you apply truth. Truth is just truth. Like, how do you apply gravity in your daily life?
Yeah.
It's just something that it has an effect on you. And when you start to see the effect it's already having on you, it becomes easier to make sense of the world and it becomes easier to work with it. So thought is already creating your reality, including this sense of yourself as someone who has a tendency to seek out new information and then not use it. Right? That's not you. That's just thought. That's not the truth of Jay. That's just a way of seeing Jay, you know, created by thought. When that thought's not there, that's not how you see Jay. Right? You already are conscious. You already have a level of understanding of this. But the nature of consciousness is As we settle down, it expands and we get a deeper understanding.
Yeah, I'll be 48 in a couple months, and it just took me until the last couple of years to realize the difference between not being as good as you want to be at something and not being good at it at all. And then there's also the curse of the more you learn about something, the more you realize that you don't know nearly as much as you thought. And so there's a tendency to think, oh, you know, if you're whatever it is, if you are, you know, build websites, then you get into that world and they say, oh, my goodness, this person's amazingly talented. And all of a sudden you thought you were good, but then you compare your work to theirs. And then,
so here's your homework, Jay. Here's your homework.
All right.
Okay. Your homework, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is is to see how many times you can be surprised this week. To see how many times you can be wrong. And what I mean by that is to open yourself up, not to try not to have your opinions about you and about where you are and who you are and where you're at, what's wrong and what's stuck and what you need to work on, but just to open yourself up to being wrong about. Does that make sense?
It does. I took a workshop and a while ago, and that was one of the things that I noticed was that I have a tendency to want to be right often, but at the same time, I feel like I'm wrong often.
See, and here's what I suspect, and you'll call back in a couple of weeks, and you'll let me know how it went. Right? Is that as soon as you stop spinning the tail of Jay, you know, Jay the VCR. I mean, that tail has to have been around for a while because we haven't used VCRs in years.
Exactly.
Right? So when you let go of that one, something new will start to come through and you're going to start to see some new things. And then we're going to have a different conversation. So you up for that?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah, I will look forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Jay. And I hope you guys don't think that was like just Jay, right? I hope you're not sitting there going, oh, poor Jay, man. I mean, not me. Right. That's to a greater or lesser extent, we all live in our historical thinking, in our historical self-image. We have an idea of who we are. We have an idea of who we should be. And the bigger that gap is, the worse we feel about ourselves. Well, for me, the solution to that isn't to, you know, try harder to bridge the gap. It's to recognize you made up both sides of the equation. Like you've created a pull on a rubber band and you made up one of the poles that it's pulling on, which is, you know, who I think I am. And you made up the other one, which is who I think I should be. And you made up the rubber band because there's nothing there. Outside of thought, none of that even exists. And the moment you see that, you're free from that whole game of improving yourself, of working on your ego when you think you're working on yourself. I don't know if that makes sense, but maybe you'll tell me. Let's go out to Columbus, Ohio, and let's speak with Lindsay. Lindsay, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome.
Well, I really resonate to your rubber band analogy because I think at this point I'm stymied by opportunities, and that really doesn't sound like a problem, but somehow I'm making it into one. I am here in Columbus. I'm a professional actor and a voiceover artist, amongst other careers, and I have an opportunity to go to California, and I'd like to. Now, it's an adjunct teaching position with a school that's not completely solidified, so it's sort of a, I guess they call it an etheric job at this point, but it's there. And suddenly, I'm noticing that I'm creating more opportunities here. Well, I don't want to necessarily be here, but then these opportunities are being created. And so then I'm just trapped because I feel like I'm creating both that and this, and I'm not really sure what's going on. So that's where I am. I'm stuck with opportunity.
Well, tell me how you create an opportunity. How does that work?
Well, my idea is that somehow in my mind, I am thinking of what I ultimately would like, this sort of final end result, this final outcome. And then suddenly I'm seeing things materializing. So, for instance, I had said to the universe, I said, okay, if you really want me to stay, it sounds funny, but I said, make me an anchor at one of these local news stations because that would be something that would force me to stay here and it's performance-based. Well, that's not what happened, but all of a sudden I got a voiceover audition and now I'm going to be doing sort of all the lead-ins to the shows. So it's like, that's pretty close. So I'm like, well, what does that mean? And then I don't know what to do.
So, okay, So if I wasn't inclined to believe in messages from the universe,
okay,
I'm not going to say whether I am or I'm not, but let's just say I wasn't, right? I might explain that as when you go on auditions, sometimes you get a job.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
True.
Right? Now, I mean, your story is way better than mine. It makes for a better self-help book. It's more fun. But I don't know that I would know that it's any more true.
Hmm.
So part of it is if you're looking for the universe to give you signs in the world of form, then that would suggest that somehow there is some external entity that manipulates the world of form and communicates with us through that. Does that sound right? That at least that would be the logic behind doing that?
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. I can't say definitively it doesn't work that way. But it seems to me that when I've had moments of wisdom, they haven't come from out there. They haven't showed up in like an actual sign. I don't know if you remember the old movie L.A. Story with Steve Martin, where the traffic signs actually talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had that much experience of it working that way. What it seems to me is kind of like the I Ching, that there is something in me that already knows, and when I look outside, sometimes I can see it reflected.
If I know, why am I so scared?
Well, because what you know is what you want. You don't know how it's going to turn out. Right? I mean, that's not ours to know. Right? Life is an emergent property. I was talking to a client about this today who's, you know, had a big decision and was really kind of stymied because she thought at some level that if she just thought about it enough from enough different angles, she would see the answer as if the answer actually existed outside of her.
Right.
Well, my understanding of how the mind works is that we have some sort of an inner guidance system that absolutely lets us know what direction to go in, but it doesn't tell us where it's taking us. It's like it's a big difference between the GPS going, turn left ahead, and the GPS saying, you're going to Disney.
Right.
And I think if you're willing to follow the moment-by-moment GPS and not worry about the final destination, you probably do know what to do next. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So what do you know?
Well, I think what I know is that I need to breathe and just let things happen and just sort of enjoy the beauty of every moment as it's happening.
Gosh, that sounds a lot like wisdom.
Oh, sometimes, small, brief moments.
Well, but you know what? The more you listen, the longer those moments get.
That's good. It's encouraging.
Cool. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Keep us posted.
Indeed.
All right. You know, I think that's it. That's one of those things that was talking about how, you know, when you start to just look at, well, how does the universe really work? How does the mind really work? You start to see that a lot of the stories we've made up about it, a lot of the magical universe stories, it's not that it isn't magical. It's just not magic trickical. That was not a word, but you might know what I mean. That it's not like somehow I create Porsches with my mind, but I create my experience of life by a thought. And there are Porsches out there. And sometimes if I think about a Porsche, I'll start seeing Porsches. Does that mean my mind created the Porsches? No, as far as I know, they were already there and I just wasn't paying attention to them. And then because I was paying attention to them, I started to see them everywhere. It's kind of like a magical snowplow. You know, where, you know, it clears the path to seeing the thing that I'm looking for. And if what I'm looking for is like some a sign from the universe, I'll get them. but I'm not sure they're really from the universe. I'm not sure they're not just projections from my own unconscious, showing me what it is I want to see. And that's why we get bunged up trying to interpret it, because you can't interpret something that isn't a sign. Now, what you can do is you can notice that the universe is filled with synchronicity and serendipity. And what you can do is you can notice that when you start walking in a direction, when you definitely commit yourself in a direction, and all that means is you start walking in a direction, then the universe moves too. And then all sorts of unforeseen circumstances start to come your way, which you could never have imagined. But that would happen whichever direction you started walking in. That would happen if you went left, but it would also happen if you went right, because that's just how the world works. And that takes a lot of the pressure off us to figure something out in advance instead of just living it and allowing it to emerge and hearing our moment-to-moment wisdom as we do. We've just been talking L.A. Let's go to L.A. and let's talk to Victoria. Victoria, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today? So I'm just hoping, Victoria, they can turn you up because I cannot hear you right now.
Let me see. Is this any better?
Little bit. Let's give it a go.
Okay. I can pick up my handset.
Oh, there you go. Yay. I can hear you, which I should be able to because technically I'm in L.A., so, like, you know, you should be the easiest one to hear.
Okay. Wow, this is amazing. Here's where I'm at and why I'm calling in, bottom line. And I'd like to give you a few little stories around that, though. But bottom line is I'm in a position in my life where I don't know what action to take in the moment. Even if I quiet my mind, there are so many things to do, and I'm in a situation about ready to lose everything, my home, everything, you know, financially destitute. And so all I could think of is, you know, being homeless, losing my two cats, you know, all this stuff, and being happy, being able to be happy if that happens. And so then I say, okay, I'm not going to think about that because that's not happening right now. Right now I'm here in my home. I have the roof over my head. I have my two cats. I do have some, you know, top ramen to eat, you know.
Victoria, can I interrupt you for a sec?
Yeah.
Okay. So you started by saying, you know, I am settled down. But can you feel how not settled down you are?
Yeah.
Now that's good. That's good. Okay. That's a good thing because it means that you're sufficiently settled down to know that you're not settled down.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, if you're nuts, but you know that you're nuts, you're not that nuts.
Exactly.
So everything that you're describing is a symptom of a revved up mind, of a busy mind. You know, I'm thinking about this and I should think about that and I'm trying to think about this, but I can't really figure out which to do. Because, right? That would be true for any of us with different content when our minds are revved up. So there's nothing to do about any of the details of that because most of that won't even be there when you stop spinning. It's like, you know, when you, if you create a tornado. I'm spinning my finger around as if you can see me. But if you could see me, I'd be spinning my finger around like a tornado. And it would create a sort of a swirl around it. And it would look like a huge thing. But the moment I stopped spinning, within moments, all of that dirt and dust would settle down to the ground and there just wouldn't be that much left there to actually have to make decisions about or deal with. Does that make sense so far?
Mentally, yes. Logically, yes.
What else have we got? So we've got mental and logic. Where are we falling down here?
Into the actual moment when I feel like I'm quiet and I sit here and I say, okay, I'm here in this moment. What do I do with this moment?
So hang on. Stay. Are you okay to stay with me? Because I understand your circumstances. So I'm not trying to be flip about it. But I want to check that you can stay with me on this. Are we good?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a difference between being settled down here in the moment and thinking, I'm pretty settled down here in the moment, but what am I going to do with the moment? Because I've got to figure out what to do with the moment, because there's stuff to do with the moment, because the moment... Do you see the difference between those two?
Yeah.
Okay. So my guess is you haven't felt settled down around this for a little while. And so feeling less hyped up feels settled down to you.
Right.
It's like if you've ever driven the freeway, you know that like when you hit the exit, you know, you might have been going 70 and then you slow down to 40 and it feels like you're going really slow, but actually you're going really fast.
Right, right.
So if it's okay, let's take a moment to find the moment.
I would love to experience what it is to really be quiet, be settled.
Yeah. Yeah, and my guess is you've experienced it in the past. I mean, you know, your cats haven't been up in the air for that long. Right? I mean, you do know what settled down is like. You've had your moments in your life.
I don't know that I have because, you know, I had a therapist tell me one time, she said, you seem to be living like you're on borrowed time. And that kind of struck home to me. And
yeah.
And that's exactly what it feels like. But
I have a friend who describes that as living like you're double parked.
So I honestly don't know. I mean, I know I've had some awesome moments which is kind of contributing to this stuff here. I had a moment.
Well, so hang on a sec. So like, where are you now? You're on the phone with me.
Yes.
Right. And what kind of phone you got?
I have a Panasonic. Well, actually, I have a headset that I'm on, but I have a Panasonic, an old one.
Okay. You Apple or IBM?
Oh, definite IBM.
Yeah, me too. I know. I've gone public now. I've just outed myself as a PC guy. I would be younger and hipper and sexier if I was an Apple guy, but my wife's an Apple person. So it kind of balances out. And what kind of cats you got?
I have, what kind of cats?
Yeah. Didn't you say you had two cats?
I do. And they're both, I don't know what type they are. They're wonderful ones, I guess. I don't know. One's multicolored and the other one's long haired gray. Unbelievably different personalities.
Yeah. Would you be willing after we're done to post a pic of them up to the Facebook page, to the thread for the show? If you go to facebook.com/MNeil, you'll see there's a thread for the show and you can post the kitties. What are their names?
Baby and Casey.
Baby and Casey. Yeah, we've got Roscoe and Asia. And Roscoe is a problem child. Roscoe loves my wife, loves my daughter, tolerates me, and expresses his displeasure with anyone else by peeing or pooing wherever he is.
Oh my goodness!
I know. It's a hell of a thing. Now, let me ask you something. Do you feel a little more settled down now than you did 3 minutes ago?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, me too. And that's all. There's no magic to this. There's no technique you've got to learn. It's just, if you kind of start to recognize, boy, I'm going to do better when I'm really settled down. And it's not like a place to get to from which to launch back into my attack on life. Right?
That's what I'm thinking. I want to get down there so I can launch.
Exactly. That's what I can hear it. Right? But it's actually just, the funny thing that happens is when you settle down, you start to see there's really not that much to launch yourself at. Now, you at the moment, you kind of might have to take my word for that a little.
Right, I understand.
You know, but hey, I'm on the radio. I must know something, right? Let's hope.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Victoria. And you know, hang in and dude, listen to the show. Come back. Have you read The Inside Out Revolution?
I did. I'm going to read it again.
Okay, brilliant. You know what I'm going to do? If you stay on the line, I'm going to ask the guys to take your details, and we'll send you out a copy of the CDs, the audio version as well, so you can listen to it.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for phoning in.
Thank you.
All right. You know, I do that. Like, that's why I got that. I do that. I think I'm settled down enough, right? I'm settled down enough, okay? Now let's talk about my problem. There are so many levels of noise that we can get used to. And each time you find another level of settled down, of quieted down, oh God, it just gets easier. Really all I can say, it gets so much easier. And you get so much clearer, and you start to feel all that power that you'd hoped all your running around was going to get you. And you start to have insights and fresh thoughts, like a river of insights, one of my clients described it as, in the way that you'd really been trying to get them by running around and thinking about everything. And at a certain point, if there is anything to do, it just becomes apparent, just occurs to you, becomes almost obvious. And you just kind of go, oh God, how could I have not seen that before? So, you know, if I was going to take something from that, it would be, you don't settle down in order to solve your problems. As you settle down, you'll just find yourself with less and less problems. And the problems you still do have, you'll know what to do. There's a fun article I wrote about it called How to Spot a Real Problem. If you go to the Huffington Post, they published it yesterday. You can read it. And it kind of speaks to that. You can also find it on the Facebook page. And while I'm at it, I'm supposed to promote Twitter too. Twitter.com/Michael_Neil. Let's go out to Cleveland and let's speak to, am I really speaking to Mon Cheri?
Yes, this is Mon Cheri.
Hello. What a fun name.
Thank you.
So what are we going to talk about?
Oh, okay. Good thing I had time to think of. I was calling because I'm currently transforming to being, you know, more successful. And outwardly, I feel like more and more people are recognizing that. So they come to me and they're asking me for, you know, to solve their money problem. And I'm trying to, I guess my question to you is, you know, how do you easily tell someone, no, you know, find a better way? You know, I don't want to be people's source. And I don't want to feel like I need to mask my success to avoid these kind of scenarios.
Okay, so we're going to have to back up a little bit because, you know, the answer that's coming to mind, which I get is kind of a jerk answer, but it's like I'm trying to hold it in and it's not going to stay in. It's like, well, you say no, but I'm guessing that's not your problem. Like you understand the word. So what is it that makes saying no seem like a big deal?
Well, I guess there's a little form of guilt where you feel like maybe I should be helping, but I feel like the answer should be no, because I don't want to be people's solutions. They come to me first, and I don't want to feel like the bad guy, but I don't, you know.
Well, why would you feel like the bad guy? Like I apologize and feel free to hang up on me in disgust and phone my boss and get me fired. But, you know, you want to have sex right now?
No.
Okay. Was that really difficult for you to say?
No.
Right. So why?
The no part for me isn't difficult.
But why didn't you feel guilty about turning me down? Because honestly, my feelings are really hurt. Like, why was that so straightforward for you? But if somebody asks you for money, that doesn't feel like it's okay to just say no if you don't want to and yes if you do want to.
True. I guess probably the more problem is for me balancing, showing that I'm successful and people looking at me differently.
Well, can we stay with it? Hang on a sec. Can we stay with that last question? Because it sounded to me like you actually realized you didn't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something in there There's something rich in kind of going, well, why is it that sometimes I have no problem saying no? And even about, you know, I'm sure there are people that you can say no to about money. And then sometimes it seems like a big deal. Like, what do you think is going on there?
Maybe I'm feeling a little guilty. Like, when I have came to someone to help, you know, and they told me no, and being that person.
Right. And when somebody, like, if you asked for help from someone and they said no, you know, after you burned them in effigy and stuff, did you get over it?
Of course.
Right. So why is it that if you know that the worst thing that's going to happen is somebody's going to get pissed off with you and then get over it, that seems like a relevant decision criteria? Like, that seems like a problem worthy of your time and attention to solve. Do you see, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just trying to get kind of underneath it a little bit. Because
right.
It seems to me that that's just the nature of the game. Some people at various times, we will all have more than some people and less than others.
Right.
And when we have more than some people, some of those people we have more than will ask us for some of what we have. And sometimes we'll be inclined to say yes, and sometimes we'll be inclined to say no. Like, that doesn't strike me as unique to you or me or anyone.
Right.
And sometimes when that happens, we don't think anything of it. And we maybe feel even compassion for the person asking, but we know we're not going to do it. And other times we get racked with guilt about it. Now, like, for me, as best I can tell, the difference is that sometimes I think that without my help, they're going to suffer. And so if I don't help them, you know, then I'm contributing to their suffering or even causing their suffering. And then there are other times where somebody can be in even more need, and it just doesn't even strike me. It doesn't even catch my attention. And so it seems to me that the variable, the difference between those situations, is just which thought is up in my head at any given time. Is that similar to you?
Correct. Yeah, I guess it depends on, you know, how close these individuals are to, you know, connected to you in your life.
Well, sure, it can do.
Yeah.
But there are people who are close to me that I wouldn't think twice about loaning money to, and there are people who are close to me that I wouldn't loan money to if they were going to even really pay me back.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't be that. It's still something to do with my thinking. And here's why I think that's significant. Like, here's why it seems worth that being our conversation, is if the variable is just what I happen to be thinking about that person in the moment, well, that's going to change. So I need to go to a deeper place to make my decisions that isn't going to just change as my thought changes. And that's the place from which I can make actually all my decisions. And that place is what I'm talking about. I talked about at the beginning of the show is, you know, intelligence versus intellect. Now, do you know that place in you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably that's the place that's led to you starting to get more successful, right?
Right.
Well, that same intelligence will guide you in each one of these situations as they come up, if they come up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that, you don't have to pre-decide. You don't have to figure out how you'll handle it if.
Mm.
Because you know what? In the moment, that deeper intelligence, my wisdom, my common sense will guide me. And now that frees me up to kind of enjoy my life and do what I do.
Right. Handle that comes.
What's going on for you there?
Huh? No, I'm not. I just know I needed to hear that, you know.
Yeah.
I just needed to hear that, and you know, I love you so.
Well, beautiful.
I'm just amazed I'm gonna be on the phone talking with you.
Oh well, really nice to meet you, and phone back when this settles in, and you know, let us know. Let us know what you've
Thank
seen.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was really sweet. I really enjoyed that. Should we sneak one more in? What do you think? I'm making up what you're thinking.
Yeah, sneak one more in. No, tell us about what you're up to. I already talked about Coaching from the Inside Out at coachingfromtheinsideout.com. Okay, sneak one more in.
So we're going to go out to Savannah, Georgia, and we're going to talk to Catherine. If anyone is still listening after that, I apologize. Catherine, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, this is Catherine.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just so grateful. So here I am. I'm 66. I was diagnosed at 27 with a severe physical respiratory rare condition. Prognosis was dead at 40. I'm a walking miracle. However,
That's got to be your new business card. I'm a walking miracle. However, ..
However, I kept going down the same path to the cheese, and the cheese wasn't there. I have been practicing all of what you are speaking about here. I have been praying and releasing the need to be right, for one. This came up in the show. I have been looking for signs and projections from my own unconscious, walking in a new positive direction. And two very important things have happened. I was about to lose everything in a pod, and I don't know how this happened, but they called me one day after my lung procedure and said, we have an amnesty program. All your debt is forgiven on the pod. Get everything out by the end of October. Well, there's a miracle. The second was I applied for a scholarship with Max Hubbard and Barbara Max Hubbard and was approved for half the scholarship. So things are moving in this wonderful new direction, and I shifted from wanting or needing to be a people solution person to an idea solution person, because the body is just, I'm an 8-cylinder person, and I'm functioning on 2 cylinders. So, Catherine, I'm
really sensitive to the fact that I'm going to have to go in about 90 seconds. So if there is a question that I can maybe point you somewhere.
What is the next step? What is the missing link that I can make this or allow this to take place? Something is somewhere. I'm missing something.
Yeah. I'm going to guess.
Okay.
And the guess is that underneath the recognition of the fact that you're experiencing miracles in your life, or you've experienced your miracles in your life, or you are a walking miracle, there's the deeper truth that life itself is a miracle. And you are an expression of that deeper miracle, not an exception to the rule. And if you look in the direction of that deeper miracle, my sense is you'll start to see it unfolding through you even more than it already has.
That's beautiful.
Thank you for phoning, Catherine.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Namaste.
Namaste. Well, how about that? With 2 seconds to spare. Thanks, guys. I hope you have enjoyed the show. I always do. We're going to be back with a new one next week. You can find out more at supercoach.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/mneil, on Twitter at twitter.com/michael_neil. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.